21. I've been thinking about doing some sermons on a subject you very seldom ever hear anybody preach on. And I'm going to do this in two sections. And I'm going to take the negative first. And when I've plumbed the depths as far as I want to go with that, then I'm going to go on the other side of this subject. So now you're wanting to know what the subject is. And it's really one that, as I got into it more today, it's amazing to me how it affects everything in people's lives. You know what it is? I thought Brandon was going to say it. It's the sin of discontentment. And I've been reading a book by a Puritan by the name of Thomas Watson. And it's called The Art of Contentment. It's been on my desk for, well, I think Brent Spears gave it to me back in October. And it's been on my, I've got a little bookshelf of books that I want to get to, and I put it on that. And it's a subject that you rarely hear anybody even talk about. But it's one that's really prevalent. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 21, we have a story that all of you are probably very familiar with. It says in verse 1, "It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Now our text furnishes us with a prime example of the sin of discontent or discontentment. You think about the subject of our text, Ahab. He reigned over all of Israel. He enjoyed the luxuries and the possessions that royalty afforded. Yet he was unsatisfied because he didn't have Naboth's vineyard for an herb garden. Like a petulant, spoiled child, Ahab took to his bed. Jezebel came in and found him lying there in a fit of depression. Ahab's covetousness and discontent led to a murmuring, whining spirit to his wicked wife. And Jezebel, seeking to cure her husband of his despair, first told him, and we didn't read this part, "You're the king of Israel, you can do whatever you blessed well please." What she did was she arranged for people to falsely accuse Naboth of something and then had him executed. So in this case, the disease of discontent led to the murder of an innocent man. Discontent is like a sin that swells and enlarges if it's allowed to go unchecked. And you look at Ahab, and it's easy to see how the drops of discontentment in the life of Ahab developed into a deluge that ultimately overwhelmed and destroyed him. Ahab was not content to take a wife of the children of Israel, the covenant people of God. That was what the Word of God prescribed. But he was not content to obey. Instead, he willfully chose wicked Jezebel, an idolatrous devotee to Baal. She was a whorish woman. And nobody names their daughter Jezebel because of the infamy of this wicked woman. Jezebel was largely responsible for leading Ahab to take up the worship of Baal. Ahab was not content to worship the true and living God of Israel, so he turned to idolatry and to false gods. His lack of contentment, the sin of discontent, was so strong, it caused him to cast off the law of God concerning marriage, and then the law of God concerning worship. He turned to idolatry. Jezebel not only hated the true God of Israel, she despised his true prophet, Elijah. Ahab also counted the man of God his enemy. Now, if you read the rest of 1 Kings 21, you'll find Ahab drowning in discontent, literally. He was not content with his possessions as king. He must also have the vineyard that belonged to somebody else, the vineyard of Naboth. Covetousness and discontentment go together. His sin of discontent ultimately resulted in the judgment of God upon his posterity, upon his household. If you read verse 17, "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine.' And Ahab said to Elijah, 'Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?' And he answered, 'I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord.'" Verse 24, it says, "Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air meet." Verse 21, "Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Notice what God identified regarding the sin of discontent and covetousness. God said it's evil. It led to murder in this case, and ultimately judgment. The sin of discontent is a disease that afflicts saved people and lost people in our world. It is a plague that is rarely diagnosed for what it really is, an evil and a wicked sin. It is a sin that strikes at the very heart of God and His providential dealings with men. A.W. Pink wrote this in 1952. He said, "Discontent. Was there ever a time when there was so much restlessness in the world as there is today? We very much doubt it. Despite our boasted progress, the vast increase of wealth, the time and money expended in pleasure, and daily in pleasure, discontent is everywhere. No class is exempt. Everything is in a state of flux, and almost everyone is dissatisfied. Many, even among God's own people, are affected by the evil spirit of this age." I wonder what he would say in 2018. Well, tonight I want to establish this point, that discontentment is the mother of many evils in this world. Adam and Eve were not content with the paradise that God placed them in. They just had to covet the only tree forbidden by God in all the garden. That was the one that they set their sights on. And their rebellious discontent plunged the entire human race into spiritual death, corruption, and condemnation. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Included in the mixture of sin that was in the heart of Adam when he willfully rebelled against God, certainly was a sin of discontent. I think of Israel. Israel was not content to serve the true and living God, so they sought out other gods. At times in their history, they were idolatrous. They violated the principles which God had laid down in the moral law. I mean, think about it. When God gives the very first two commandments, saying, "Don't have any other god before me, and don't make any image and bow down to it." I mean, that's right at the top of the list. And as a result of their rebellion, their discontentment, they often found themselves overrun, taken captive, and ruled by the heathen. They've been scattered. Now I realize they're back partially in their land now. But 6 million Jews were executed by Adolf Hitler. And, you know, if you took the totals from the time that they were scattered, a lot of Jews have suffered because of their sin of discontent with God, their rejection of Christ. You know, God promised to judge Israel for idolatry way back in the days of Moses. go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And look at verse 16. God is talking to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. And I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. Israel's discontentment led to their captivity, their scattering, and God's judgment upon them. Through the centuries, thirdly, discontentment has led nations to fight and war against one another over lands, wealth, possessions, power, and prestige. And this lust for more has only increased as time marches on. Violence and warfare will mark the last days and will intensify during the tribulation period. Jesus warned, And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. I believe that one of the reasons why nations go against one another is because of discontentment. Fourthly, it is the sin of discontent which motivates a man or a woman to violate their marriage vow, to lust after another in thought or deed, resulting in the horrific sin of adultery. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 and 28 says, Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. At the root of the sin of adultery is discontentment. Sadly, the sin of discontent will cause a man to forsake the wife of his youth in favor of another, often resulting in divorce. Only 100 years ago, divorce was pretty rare. Now in the age of discontentment with nearly everything, people are discontent all over the place with everything. Divorce is not only common, it's expected by many in our culture today. Discontent with a marriage partner may be as easily cast off as an old pair of shoes. Men and women filled with lust in their eyes and in their hearts greedily make advances on those outside the sacred bonds of marriage. As a result, we live in an age where the covenant of marriage has nearly been dissolved by the disease of discontentment. When this thing came out a few months back with Harvey Weinstein, and it started what they called the Me Too movement. I mean, if people were living by biblical principles, women would be exalted. They wouldn't be looked upon as a piece of property or as a sexual object. That's what the progressive, secular, humanist vision in America is. It's the meaning of women. And sad to say, many of those very women bring things on themselves. Yeah, I said it. By the way in which they dress, alluringly, trying to catch the eye of the Harvey Weinsteins of the world so that they'll be cast in a movie. They sell their soul and body. So, oh, you should be defending women. I believe that it's a terrible power grab by a man in authority to do something that wicked. But I'll also say there's plenty of women that would sell their soul to the devil in this day and age. They're not pure as the driven snow. This thing's affected every area of society. Discontent for the natural use of the body has led homosexuals to seek perverse ways in which to satisfy their insatiable lust. Homosexuals and transgenders are rebelling against the way that they were created. I believe people are born man and woman, or boy and girl, however you want to say it. I believe that every sexual sin, including homosexuality, including multigenderism and all the rest that goes with it, it is a defiant act of the will. Where someone willfully chooses to rebel against God and rebel against their conscience. And as such, God has given them over to a reprobate mind where they have no discernment, where their conscience is seared. And we live today in a world where perversity is being normalized. And deviancy is being normalized. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 1 talks about. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and to do those things which are not convenient. The normalizing of deviancy and perversion has resulted in child abuse, multigenderism, pedophilia, bestiality, and a whole host of other immoral sexual sins. That's not hate speech. That's fact speech. That's truth. I just read where one of the actors on that show that promoted homosexuality among teens, Glee, it was on several years ago. One of the main characters was convicted of child porn. And they found him dead today. Now, I didn't read the rest of the story. I just saw the thing and I didn't read the details. But I would venture to say that that guy's probably just so consumed with guilt, he probably just killed himself. That's what this leads to. Discontentment. It can take a hold of your soul. It can ruin you. Many who are unthankful and discontent with their lot in life plunge headlong into the world of drugs and alcohol. Now, a lot of people won't speak this frankly, but I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't a victim. I was a willing participant in the sin. Somebody who becomes a drunkard and a drug abuser is really a self-idolater. Because they get to the place where all they care about is their desire for instant gratification. I know. Instead of turning to Christ and the promises of the Word of God, they willfully seek satisfaction from damaging sources. They deceive themselves into thinking that they will escape their present troubles only to find themselves helpless slaves to their addiction. It's a reality in our world. Whether it's the opioid crisis, the heroin addiction problem, legalization of a gateway drug, marijuana, alcohol is a legal drug. And it's ruining people. And what Proverbs says about alcohol can be said about any drug. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that liveth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Discontentment. You know, it's rare to find a family that is not in some way touched by the snare of addiction in the world in which we live. Discontent with the tried and true way of raising children and training them with biblical principles, atheists and secular humanists have turned to the flawed reasoning of carnal men. For centuries, countries all over the world have benefited by methods of child rearing and education set forth in the Holy Scriptures. Over the past 150 years or so, the secular elites have attempted in various ways to take control of the minds of children. They deny the truths of Scripture in favor of the perverted philosophies of wicked men, and the results have been devastating. Children are being raised with no discipline, no work ethic, no sense of personal responsibility, no respect for authority of any kind. Why? Discontent with the truth. People have turned to error. Our universities have devolved into centers of atheistic anarchy, bitterness, entitlement, and hatred. Why? Because they don't follow the principle clearly, plainly laid out in the Word of God. Proverbs 23:22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." The result of forsaking that counsel? Proverbs 25:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Jeremiah 8:9-12, "The wise men are ashamed and taken, they are dismayed. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall down among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Sadly, many young people are void of any training in morality or respect. Few parents take seriously the charge of Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." I got one more tonight, because I'm saving the sandpaper for you next week. Because all I've covered is social ills due to discontentment. Next week I'm going to deal with spiritual things among God's people. And this may be included in it, but discontentment over lack of possessions has led many to buy things they can't afford or pay for. In our age of entitlement, everyone feels as though they deserve everything they want, no matter what the cost. Instead of saving to buy necessities, most folks go into debt way over their heads to obtain things they really can't pay for. And many stay in the bondage of debt their entire life. Sadly, many ruin their testimony by defaulting on loans or declaring bankruptcy. My parents, when I was young, taught me a very simple, to the point statement, a biblical principle. I don't think they even knew where it was in the Bible. But they told me, don't buy something you can't pay for. That sounds so simple. Yet most people are doing just that. You look at that housing bubble of 2008 that ruined the economy. What was that about? People, they were approving loans of people that had no business buying houses to start with. They had no intention of paying it back. There's a principle: the borrower is servant to the lender. And again, it's this thing of discontentment with what God has either given or where He's placed you in life. Now, this is a pretty bleak sermon tonight, wasn't it? You know, we better understand the warnings of the Word of God about things that nobody wants to talk about. The sin of discontentment will land you in a world of trouble, even judgment. Ahab's in hell right now because of it, along with Jezebel.
Let's go to the Lord's Prayer tonight.